Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad he doesn't leave us alone.
Amen.
Sometimes I pray, Lord, don't be nice to me. I need to change, Lord. Don't be nice to me. I don't have decades anymore, you know. Well, I have decades, but I don't have any of them to lose, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. I thank God he loves me too much to leave me like I am. Amen. Well, this is let me ask a question before I start. Now, how many of you, you're going to have to leave after the morning service? That's what I thought. We've got quite a few. So what we're going to do now, I know the jumping off point. I know basically what he wants me to teach. I don't think it's going to be real long. And before we dismiss the service today, any of you that have to leave, we want to give you opportunity for Dave to pray for you, lay his hands on you, let the Holy Ghost slap you around a little bit. Let the Holy Ghost minister to you and lay you out for a little while. Hallelujah. Praise God. Open up to 1 Corinthians 14. I feel a little bit like Luke Skywalker trying to teach when the Jedi Master is in the room. Obi-Wan is over here. And he'll give me a grade later for how I do with his message. But I thank God for the message that God birthed through Pastor Dave, and it changed mine and Sue's life completely. We were a total wreck the day that we walked through the doors of the prayer center. Life and religion had about done us in. And I tell you, we were almost without hope. We didn't even know if God could help us, you know, because we'd been so disillusioned by well-meaning people. You know, none of those preachers, I don't think, really ever intended to hurt us. But lies hurt. You know, and when people tell you, they can have all the good intentions in the world, but if they're teaching you lies, it won't work, and you'll fail. And I thank God for the day, again, that we began to hear truth and the path to understanding it ourselves. And so what the Lord's going to have me do here, I just know kind of the jumping off point. I know, and one illustration he wants to do. Some of you that's been around this message a long time, you might go, oh, yeah, I already know this. Tim Stemple taught a really good message a few weeks ago. The title, you know, here at the prayer center, it's kind of like those of you that attend here. You know, we dine on filet mignon every week. I mean, really, we get the pure word of God, and just like people here. Tim Stemple's message was, the title of it was, The Sin of Getting Used to It. Boy, that's for sure. You begin to take lightly the holy things of God. And 16 years. And the message that Jim brought forward yesterday, you know, you got to be careful you don't let things slip. That was so timely. It was so God. Especially for those of us that's been around these things for a while. Well, the only verse that he kept giving me this morning was this one here in 1 Corinthians 14. And I kept saying, Lord, they already know this. These are Robersonites. you know, they know this. They could get up there. This is a verse that they all know very well. And still, he wouldn't let me out of it. It's 1 Corinthians 14:14. It says, If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What does the Bible say God is? God is a spirit. You are His child. Now, at your core, you are a spirit. Most of us, the reason for the failures, we're really trying to walk by our mind. We're trying to, let me expand that a little more. We're really trying to walk by our soul, which is the mind and all the emotions that go with it. And the trouble of it is, the Bible never says God is a mind. He has a mind. It doesn't say God is a soul. God is a spirit. This book is so divinely named. This book of Dave's. It is the walk of the spirit. And I love it that it has a man, a human, on the cover. See, this is really the truth. This is the path, how to learn not to walk by your soul, not to walk by the emotions, not to walk by sight. We've all been told, walk by faith. The question is, how do you do that? I mean, I got so tired in the old days, you know, trying to go. I'd go to church services, and the end result, if you tried to sum it up in one sentence, you need to walk in more love. Pastor, you wasted my hour. I knew that before I came. I knew that before I came and listened to your message. You need to walk. You need to have more faith. I already knew that. You need to walk in forgiveness. I know that too. Could somebody please tell me how? Is there anything I can do on purpose that would take me from where I am? I know I'm a mess. Don't you? I hope you know you are. We're all varying degrees of messes, you know. And God loves us anyway. He's trying to help us, you know. He knew I was a mess when He saved me, thank God. But is there a way that I can just not be told I need to change? I know that. How do I change? Well, going back to this verse, if I pray in an unknown tongue, see, God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, it has the ability to divide between the soul and the spirit. It's one of the few things that does. But see, God is a spirit. We're His spirit-born children. We have got to learn to walk by the new man. Walk by that spirit that we truly are. Well, one thing that for sure will help separate, something you can do on purpose where you know for once it's your spirit in operation and not your soul, is when you pray in other tongues. Your soul can't do it. Your mind can't do it. It is a supernatural. I've heard Dave say, here again, it's Obi-Wan over here. It is as supernatural as raising the dead, because the natural man, the natural mind, can't do it. The Holy Spirit, now it's your spirit praying. But it's the Holy Spirit that's creating the language. He is giving the utterance. So, well, what's exactly happening, Brother Gary? Well, back up here in that chapter to verse 2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaking mysteries. Well, I remember in the early days, you know, Dave would say, well, now, what do you think? There's mysteries being communicated. Which way are they being communicated? How many of you think you're approaching God to explain things to Him? No. He's not the one that's got the problem. When you're speaking in an unknown tongue, He is communicating and explaining mysteries to you. Well, it's all of those things that we really want to know. What is my calling? God, I really do love my wife. How do I be nicer to her? You know, God, I realize I've got some selfish tendencies, you know. I wasn't looking at anybody for anybody. I love my car, God. I really like my car. But I don't want to make an idol out of my car. You know, how do I change, see? Well, those are the very mysteries. What is your calling? How are you going to change? Yes, sir. One of the best examples. Yes, sir. One of the best. Be turned into chapter 2 of this book, 1 Corinthians 2. One of the best examples, again, Pastor Dave has taught us all, and if you've heard it before, it's good for you. You're going to hear it again. See, this is what we all try and do. You go to one of those Jim Martin services and you come out. He taught you got to walk in love. So you decide, I am going to walk in more love towards my wife. So you decide, what can I do? Okay, I know what I'll do. I'm going to start making her favorite breakfast and serving it to her in bed every morning. Most of you have heard this. So you go and see, my wife loves blueberry pancakes. So you get up early, but while she's still in bed, and you fix the blueberry pancakes, you pour the orange juice. You even make the pancakes in a little heart shape. You know, I mean, you're just doing everything you can. You know, you write a little love note and put it on the tray, and maybe there's a single-stemmed rose, and you deliver it up to her, and, sweetie pie, I love you so much, and I fixed your favorite breakfast. She said, I love you too. This is great. Hallelujah. And the day's wonderful, isn't it? And the next day you do it. And the next day you do it. Somewhere around the fifth day, you serve that, and she goes, don't we have anything in this house besides blueberry pancakes? He says, well, I'm tired of fixing it for you anyway. And now things are right back to the way they were before. But at the end of that, and we can all relate with that, right? But at the end of that message, he gives that he just killed me dead one day. I saw it. I don't know how many times he had to say it before I got it. He says, but you know, he said, that's what happens when you do with human effort trying to walk by the Spirit. He says, but you know, it's really not hard to walk in love when that's what you are. Well, how? How do I become that? How do I become the R? How do I become that? Well, thank God, that's what this message does. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, we'll pick it up in verse 12. And it's so interesting that Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians who were babies. He tells you in chapter 3, they're split, divided, and carnal. He's writing a letter to them trying to get them beyond that stage. You know, this is the we have chapter 13 coming up later, the love walk, trying to get there. But notice he says, verse 12, and King James got it right in this case with the little s and the big s. They got it right. It says, now we have received. And what he means is, now that you've been born again, Corinthian church, he tells them in chapter 2, I came and I preached the gospel to you. I preached Christ crucified. Now you're born again. So he's saying, now we have received not the spirit of the world, little s. Well, that's, what is the spirit of the world? Well, that's that fallen nature that every human has. That's passed down from Adam. It's that sin nature, the spirit of the world that every human is born with when they're born of their mother. But the spirit, little s, correct, which is of God. You have been born of the nature, the spirit of God now. Why? Why was that necessary? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. In the margin right there, you might want to write inheritance. He's talking about the things that have been freely given to you. It's your inheritance. And it's not just anointing and power. The fruit of the Spirit all belongs to you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temperance, meekness, faith. All of those things, that's part of your inheritance. So, well, I'm not walking in a whole lot of all of that. Well, let's continue. Belongs to you anyway. So he gave you this new nature so that you might know the things that are freely given to you. He says, which things also we speak. In other words, Paul says, I'm preaching these things, but it's not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I'm tempted to go into Chuck the Duck right there. Chuck the Duck. Chuck was adopted by a bunch of chickens. They told him he was a chicken. And so, you know, he kept thinking he was the odd duck. He was the odd one because he'd look at himself. He just really didn't look like them. But they said, well, no, you're a chicken like us. So he'd go out and try and follow them, and they'd get their food by, they had those sharp little pointy beaks, and they'd peck the ground and get little bugs, you know. He'd try and do it with that big flat bill, thump, thump, thump. He always had trouble, you know. He's always tripping over those web feet, you know. He's got these big web feet, and they don't. But here, you're a chicken. You got to act like a chicken. Be a chicken. But then one day, he saw some birds land. Oh, and the other thing, he was always drawn towards the water. He never knew why. He always had this tendency to go towards the pond. And the chickens, you stay away from there. Chickens don't have nothing to do with water now. You stay away from that. Well, one day he saw a bird that looks suspiciously like him land in the pond. And he's over there watching. He goes to the edge of the pond. He's watching. And this graceful creature is swimming out there and diving and getting, bringing up fish and things with its bill. And he's going, my goodness. And finally this duck comes to the edge and starts preaching the gospel. He says, look, you're not a chicken, you're a duck. No. All my life I've been told I'm a chicken. He says, no, I'm going to share with you. I'm going to teach you duck things to duck things. Look at my bill. Look at my bill. Look at your bill. Can you see how they're the same? Well, actually they are. Look at my web feet. Look. They're just like yours. I'm teaching you duck things to duck things, the things that belong to you as a duck. And watch, Come here, follow me, boy. No, if I go in the water, I'll die. Follow me. Follow me. You can do it. All things are possible. I'll show you what ducks can really do. Come on. Follow me. He finally gets out there on the water and I can do it. I can do it. He says, I got one more thing to teach you. Flap, 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 flap. Come on. Come on. Come faster. Flap, flap, flap. And eventually, the duck lifts off. He was a duck the whole time. Now, the thing of it is, we are spirit-born children of God. That's been fed chicken food most of our lives. Religion keeps telling you you're not a child of God. You are a slimy dog worm. You're still an old sinner. You've been saved by grace, but you've just been forgiven. You know you're the rat you always was. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Now, we were old sinners. There's no taking away from that. We got saved by grace. There's no taking away from that. But the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're not a chicken anymore. You're a duck. And God's trying to get us to lift off. Do things that belong to the children of the living God. What would those be? Those that believe in my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Lift off. It's what the Holy Spirit's calling us to do. It's not going to happen if we keep trying to walk by our soul. We are not a soul. We have one that's got to be renewed. Now, our walk does change. Romans 12:2 will tell you, if you're not going to be like the chickens, you got to be renewed in your mind. The mind has to be renewed, but it can't be renewed if you keep feeding it chicken food. You can't get it renewed if you keep saying what is instead of calling those things that be not as though they were. There is no power to change what is by saying what is because it already is. It already is that. All you're doing is establishing what it already is. I'm broke. I was broke. I am broke. I will be broke. There's no power to change anything. Like he was saying earlier, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My cup runneth over. And maybe you don't have 2 cents in your pocket, but the truth of God's word will change your pocket. It'll change your circumstances. Our minds have got to be renewed, but they've got to be renewed comparing God things with children of God things. Holy Spirit in your spirit, He's come to teach your new nature. Just like that duck came to teach Chuck. Just come on, boy. Come on, girl. Let me show you who your father really is. Let me show you what's possible. I need to get a copy of this one myself. This is a good message. Verse 13 again. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but who's the teacher? Paul says, I'm just teaching you what the Holy Ghost taught me. The Holy Ghost taught me these things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man, the person that's not born again, the person that still has that Adamic nature, the spirit of the world, that guy, he doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Yes, sir. Now, this brings up the illustration. Let me show you from God's perspective what we're like. Now, I know in the Gospels when Jesus died, I know that in the temple, the curtain in the Holy of Holies was torn from the top to the bottom. We all have access. Amen. But you notice here in 1 Corinthians 14:14 where it says, when I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding, my soul at that moment is unfruitful. Well, that it's true. The Holy of Holies is wide open to all of God's children. But he's talking about your spirit. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. Now, for the purpose of the tape or MP3 or whatever we're using nowadays, I've come down in front of the podium. And if y'all will allow me, draw a line right here, like right where the center vase is. This represents the curtain separating the inner court from the Holy of Holies. On this side over here, that's the Holy of Holies. Okay, that's where the Holy Spirit lives. See, and on each one of us, the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. God, you are God's temple. He, you know, the old time religion, they used to tell you, you got to get holy before you can receive the Holy Ghost. Honey, and nobody ever qualified for that yet. I don't care what they thought. God had to supernaturally create a Holy of Holies on the inside of you, and He did that at the new birth. Ephesians will tell you that new man is created from the, I like to say, from the get-go, instantly, in righteousness and true holiness. That Spirit, that's where God dwells, that's the Holy of Holies. He had to create a place in you where He could come and dwell by His Spirit. Well, it's inside of you. He wants to teach you. Notice He said the Holy Ghost teaches, but He communicates to your soul. How did He say they were discerned? Mentally? Spiritually discerned. Well, here's what happens all the time. My soul comes up. You know, my soul that's out here in the world and got all these cares of this life and problems on all sides, and plus it's affected terribly by my emotions, you know. Some day I feel like God's son, some days I don't feel like I feel like the devil's son, actually, you know, if I'm going to go by my emotions. And here we come. We need to hear. How many of you want to hear from God? Okay, you want to hear from God? See, we're looking for God in all the wrong places, you know, because my soul comes up to the curtain and it wants to go in here and talk to God. And I'm going, oh, God, can't you hear me? That I got so many troubles, God. Please speak to me, Lord. What is my calling? Come on now, God. Come on. God, I got problems on all sides. I went out this morning and I had a flat tire on the car. All my kids are in rebellion. The tax IRS called me. I got a tax problem and I need to refund, God. I need to hear from you, Lord. Oh, are you in there, Jesus? Talk to me. Now what I'm doing with my soul, I'm coming up with all my emotions and all the cares of the world. You know, or I can try the other way. This is more like I was raised. Oh, thou great and mighty Father, thy humble servant, I am but a dust of the, I'm just a worm of the dust. I am not worthy, Lord, to even speak to thee, but if in thy great majesty, O thou creator of all that is, wouldst thou please look at my tax bill and helpest me. And the whole time, the Holy Ghost is living right on the other side of that curtain. He's wanting to communicate with you, but He's not a soul. He is a spirit. You are His, you are the offspring. You're the last man, Adam, is your progenitor. Jesus, you're the offspring of Christ. He is the last Adam. You've been born of His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there waiting this whole time to communicate to you, spirit to spirit, the things of God. So, He said, well, how can I possibly get in there? If my answers are in there, the Holy Ghost has all my answers. Is there a way, something that I can do on purpose where I could begin to find out those answers? When I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. My understanding is unfruitful at that moment. Because what happens now, bear with me for a moment. I'm going to switch from being the soul. I'm going to step over the line here now. Now I'm the spirit. Did you know your spirit has not yet worried ever a day in its life? Your soul can be out here going, oh, God, it's bad, it's terrible. Oh, God, we're going to come. If you don't come, we're going to go off the air if the people don't give. We're going to go off the air if the people... And you step over and your spirit goes, oh, peace. I'm ready to be taught. Oh, there's the Holy Spirit, yes. Your spirit's ready to be taught. Your spirit, you think the nature of Christ worries?
No.
Did you know there's part of you that never does? You say, I ain't found that part yet. Well, if He's made in the image of Christ, there's nothing, that part of you does not worry. It's never fearful. It doesn't doubt God. There's a part of you that has that capacity. Now, it says,
It doesn't come into its full measure. It comes in like a grain of mustard seed. It's got to grow. It's got to develop. It's got to come to maturity. And that's what the Holy Spirit is there for. But when you step across that veil, suddenly there's a peace. That's why you can go in there and just start on purpose. Begin to speak in an unknown tongue. Now your soul's out here. It finally goes, it listened to those Dave Roberson tapes till it about wore them out. Finally, but the method it was using wasn't working. So it finally goes, all right. He says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, okay. I tried to go in there. I can't get in there. So it's like pulling up a chair on the outside of the Holy of Holies, your soul now. And it's going, all right, I'm going to pray for 2 hours. Spirit man going in there. And your soul's out here, it's made a decision. How many of you ever made a decision? I'm going to pray for 2 hours. I finally understand, okay, we're going to get her done. Get on in there, Spirit. I wish I could go in there, but I can't go in there. Hey, ask him about a new car. I'm willing to sit here and pray as long as I get a new car out of the deal, you know. See, that's kind of the way the unrenewed soul is, you know. And you start. Shandala baku sandare bresto. This isn't so bad. Shindere bresto mancuri ator. Kundar yandistele brato mancuri, you know. Shandori, and your soul is, you know, it's not understanding any of this. I mean, not understanding anything. Andara la kuri andoto. Oh, shandala brato mancuri. 5 minutes? I promised 2 hours? Oh. We should have brought Field and Stream or something. I mean my Bible. Give me. And after, you know, when you first start this, I mean, you promise 2 hours and you're lucky if you make it 30 minutes. See, it really scared me the day I found out that my spirit really isn't the one that decides, not in the beginning. Your soul, that's why we have to keep preaching it to you. Because your soul has to make that decision. Do you know at any moment I can go, that's it. I've had enough. 10 minutes is long enough. Get back out here. We're going to the movies. And who makes that decision? Isn't that scary? That's why we got to keep preaching it to you. That's why you can't read that book just once. That's what he's trying to do today on the last day of the meeting is put some graphic images in you that'll get you back in there praying again and not let these things slip. But see, what'll happen now, if you'll learn to do it, like we said, epoxy your britches to the chair, pray in other tongues. That's why one of the great helps is to bring your Bible with you. Learn to pray softly in other tongues while you're meditating the Word of God. It gives your mind something to focus on, and what better to focus on than God's Word while your spirit is in there being taught the mysteries, the understanding of that Word. If you really want to get a threefer out of it, meditate God's Word, pray in tongues, and add some fasting. Now, well, really, I mean, I said some. You know, anyway, I won't go there. I'll be nice now. No. He wants to be nice today. But really, because now you're all three. Now you've got your soul on a fast, really, of anything but God's Word. Your spirit man is being taught spirit. Can you think about it? When you're praying, God, the Holy Spirit, like there's nobody else on the planet, He has come as your personal tutor. He has all eternity just for you. He says, if you'll sit here, I will pray. God's perfect plan. Those problems, you think they're big? You think they're tough for God? We'll pray all those out. Quit trying to figure it out. Just come in here and let me pray it out through you. I've already got all the answers. Just let me pray it through you. And see, the process, your understanding doesn't stay unfruitful. Where do you think all those revelations come from? So your soul is sitting here, you know, chanting today, you know, and you have to, in my case, I was driving the trucks, you know, it's whatever works. You just got to pray. You can walk the floor, but the idea is don't quit. Do it on a consistent, regular basis. While that's happening, your spirit man is in here being taught by God Himself. And what happens now as a revelation comes? You know, suddenly your spirit, you've prayed out a mystery. You got it. What happens is really, it's your spirit that comes to the curtain. Your soul is sitting out here. And your spirit goes, "Hey, soul! What? Did we get the new car?" "No. I got a revelation." He doesn't think you're scum. He doesn't? That's a great revelation to me. Go back in there some more. Okay, shandalabata. One day, what happened with... See, it's not just the understanding of the word. That's part of it. But one day, I got this one. "Hey, so, what? You're not a pastor." I was raised Baptist. There's only pastor, evangelist, and Sunday school teacher. That's all there is. I mean, there's a missionary, I guess, you know. That's it. And I've always kind of thought one day I'd pastor a church somewhere. But one day my spirit got taught by the Holy Ghost and it communicated it to my soul. It says, "Hey, you're not a pastor." Guess what? He hadn't called you to pastor. He never will call you to pastor. What do you think my soul asks next? "What are we?" I got to be something, you know. I don't find pew sitter in there. Find out what we are. Come back. "You're a teacher." "Really?" "Wonder what I'm supposed to teach." "This stuff." That's how it begins to come. And problems that you have. We had problems. You've heard about all three of our daughters were in rebellion at one time, you know. Well, the Holy Spirit brought us a verse. He'll bring a verse. The whole Word of God is sharp and powerful and mightier than anything else. But see, really just sitting in a book form on your coffee table, it's like potential energy, you know. But it's not kinetic energy. Any engineers in the room, it's potential. But it's not kinetic. It's not in motion. But when God breathes life into one of those verses for you, I mean, that's when it becomes a rhema to you. It's like nobody else on planet Earth ever had this word but me. It's mine, you know. And when our children were in rebellion and that where I kept getting defeated, the devil kept telling me, he says, "You didn't raise them this way. They're in rebellion. They know better than this. They know better than this." And the devil would say, "I got a right to them. They're choosing me." And I didn't know how to fight that. But in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 49, verses 24 and 25, I think it says, "Can the lawful captive be delivered? And the prey of the terrible something." Can the lawful captive, and that's lawful captive. Now, that means when they did it and the law captured them legally. And that's where the devil was getting. He says, "I got a right to them." I said, "Well, what is the answer to that?" The next verse says, "I will contend with him that contends with thee, and I will save thy children." The day that verse came out from behind the veil and came into my understanding, and it was the Spirit breathed life into it for Gary and Sue. I mean, it was a new day from then on. Before that day, if you'd asked me, "How are your kids doing?" My soul was like anybody else's soul. "They're all in rebellion at the same time. They're out drinking and carousing, and we didn't raise them this way, and I'm so afraid they're going to have a wreck. They're going to do something terrible." After that day, our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They prophesy. They see visions and dreams. Oh, he delights in them and they delight in him. You know, how long could you stand there? We'd keep talking like that. You know. Now, did things change overnight? Took years. All three of them wound up okay and working with us in the ministry. Good parents, good wives, good students, good kids. My youngest one, and you think, "Oh yeah, they were probably, what were they doing, out drinking that old beer?" Yeah. My youngest one, you might say, "Well, my kid's got real problems." My youngest one was arrested by the FBI in Mobile, Alabama for interstate transportation of stolen firearms. The guy she did it with got a 12-year prison sentence. God delivered my daughter. And she changed. If you met her today, you'd slap my face and say, "You've got to be lying. That she never could have done anything like that." I ask her now, I say, "On such and such a day when you did this, what were you thinking?" I wanted to know the thoughts that were going through her head. She says, "Daddy, I can't tell you. That was another person.
Right.
And she's honest. She can't tell me. She says, I know it happened. I remember the events, but I can't tell you what was going through my mind. It was like another person.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Y'all getting something out of this? See, the sin of getting used to it. And what will happen too, you get to a certain level and God will rescue you and change your life and get your children on track, like with us, put us in the ministry. You know, took us around the world. We've been to other countries and ministered. And there's satisfaction that comes with some of that. See, I thank God that I've got someone that's further down the trail than me. Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Can y'all tell I'm following Dave as he follows the Lord? And that's okay. Yeah. And I'll say, wonder how, you know, can you still see Dave? Well, he's on the trail ahead of me somewhere. Hand me the binoculars, Sue.
That's
there he, yes, I see him. He's way up there on the, he's ahead of me. I see him. She says, what's he doing? Oh man, praying and fasting. But he hasn't committed the sin of getting used to it.
Amen.
And even at the level of power and anointing he's walking in, he knows there's more. Well, I do too. And I thank God. But I have to tell you, you have to be careful not to let these things slip.
Amen.
These simple things. You go, you can arrive to a certain level, and I, yes, sir. And the devil is a master of getting you too busy to pray. Especially once you're out of the worst of the problems. The bills are paid. Children are okay now. Your health is back. Did y'all know about 3 years ago, Donner, I think it was, if you'd have seen me, this is the way I was walking. One reason I didn't come for a while. It's kind of hard to preach faith. Y'all ought to believe God, you know. I got attacked in my body to the point that the next step would have been a wheelchair. I mean, it was really bad. And I had let my confession slip. It came on me so slowly. I just, you know, how do you boil a frog? You can't throw a frog in boiling water. It'll jump out. But slowly, over a period of years, this pain began coming. And I just never did really. I just thought, well, I'm getting older, you know, I'm in my 60s, you know. And then one day, I mean, it was just, and I had let my, this early thing, some just confession slip. I have taught confession. I have, through the power of confessing God's word, we've had so many miracles. But I myself let it slip. And I was just letting my mouth agree with the circumstances. None of y'all ever do that. You know, you ask me, Gary, what's wrong? My back is killing me. I'd say wonderful faith statements like, if this gets any worse, I'm going to be in a wheelchair. The man of God, you know. Who was I acting like? Was I walking by my spirit? My spirit never yet walked bowed over. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Wasn't my spirit doing that? My soul being influenced by my flesh. Thank God I have a godly wife. One day I was walking through the living room and I made some astounding faith statement like, my back is killing me. Something like that. And respectfully, but with love and intensity. She did it just right. She put her, I love that woman, put her finger right up towards my nose and said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil is going to put you in a wheelchair and steal all the rest of your ministry. And walked away. I didn't want to react in love at that moment. Who do you think you are? I am the head of that. But she was right, and I knew she was right. I had to go apologize to God. I apologized to her. But the hardest part was I had to change my confession. Went back and got my old confession sheets that I had used on previous things years before. Just the same ones you'd use, you know, by His stripes I am healed. He blesses my bread, blesses my water, and He takes sickness away from the midst of me. On and on and on. You just add them, you know. Did it get better right away? You got delivered in one day, didn't you? No, it got worse. It got a lot worse. It got so bad I had to preach two messages at the prayer center from a chair because I couldn't stand. But see,
When we say we're stubborn, we mean we're stubborn. And I figure it's better to preach faith from a chair than not preach it at all. You know, so I just wouldn't not do it. Well, it got to the point, our living room is not as big as this room here across, near. I couldn't make it from the couch to the bathroom. So because God loves you so much, I'm going to demonstrate. Here's how you do it now. This is how I had to go from my couch to the bathroom. By His stripes, I was healed. I thank You, Lord, that Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains back. I command You, be strong, straighten up, pain, leave my body. Get to the bathroom, I'd have to pull myself up by the counter just to function. How am I doing now? You'd never know what happened. But I had to go back. I had let certain things slip. Things that I knew better. Things that I had to go back and just do them again. Well, now that's on the power of confession. But what we're really talking about, because you people, I look around the room, a lot of you are not novices. You've been around this word a while. And I think the reason that the Lord is having this message today, there may be some. I'm not trying to stand near anybody or anything, but there may be some who have let these things slip. I know myself, I was telling Pastor Dave the other day, I still pray. But when I compare it to those early days, the amount of prayer I used to spend at the ugly building, the amount of prayer I used to pray at the, you know, in the trucks, my prayer life compared to then is way less. And I just justify it by, well, we have ministry, and there is certain justification to some of it. You do have to, you know, part of the idea is to get to the place where He can use you, and then you have to let Him use you. Okay? And we've seen miracles and things, but when I... Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, here's the last thing. We're headed to... This is my first close. Yes, sir. I see what He's going to do now. Now what He's going to do, He's going to raise the bar again. You've seen this simple little illustration here, right? Now, when we talk about revival... Haven't you enjoyed what's happened here this week? For some of you, that's your first time, maybe ever, to really feel the presence of God. For some of you, it's been real rare, maybe two or three times in your life. And it's great. Hadn't it been great? This is nowhere near what God wants to do. Dave knows that. I know that. It's wonderful. We thank God for what He's doing. But let's raise the bar. Let me show you where we're headed. This is what we're contending for, and no amount of mental effort, no amount of physical effort is ever going to get us there. The Holy Ghost is going to get us there, or we're not going to get there. Turn to Matthew 15. Now, Dave talks about visions he's seen of emptying out children's hospitals. And then, you know, the religion comes and says, oh, you guys, you're even gone beyond what Jesus did. Jesus never emptied no hospitals. Why, He walked through a lot of towns and not everybody got healed. That's true. But I did a study one time and I found this out. Every single person that ever came to Jesus for healing, they got healed without exception. So let's look at this one. Let's raise the bar. Let's see what we're contending for. Things the Holy Ghost teaches. Matthew 15, starting in verse 29. It says, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto Dayton, Ohio. And He went up to Beaver Creek. And He sat down there. And great multitudes. Don't picture 100 people. Don't picture 1,000 people. It says when He fed the multitudes, it said that was 5,000 men plus women plus children. We're probably talking 10 to 15,000. That was a multitude. This is great multitudes. The way Dave saw it in the vision, it was like cars and ambulances and vehicles of all kind bringing the halt and the sick and the lame and the blind. He said those cars disappeared over the horizon. They were coming so many. Picture like that. Thousands. Thousands. And they had with them those that were lame, blind, dumb. That doesn't mean they were stupid. They couldn't talk. Now this word, this one, maimed. That is the same word that Jesus used when he said, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. He is literally talking about somebody coming who's either been in an accident and lost an arm or a leg or a hand, or else they were born that way, maimed. And many others, what would that be? So many diseases they probably didn't even have names for in those days. What about muscular dystrophy? What about cerebral palsy? What about all different kinds of diseases? Everything, leprosy, no telling what all. Many, many others. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet. Favorite four words. And he healed them. Them who? Them all. Now don't tell me if they hadn't have gone, if they would have had a children's hospital in that day, and somebody would have gone with buses or whatever, and gathered up all those children and brought them to the meeting, wouldn't he have healed them too? Of course he would. This is not something crazy. This is for real. We've got scripture for this. As many as you bring, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak. Now get this, they saw it. It happened during the meeting. The maimed to be whole. It says they saw the maimed to be whole. Buddy, when that starts happening, in the meeting while we watch, legs grow back, eyeballs grow back, centurion's ears grow back. Don't tell me ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News Channel, and CNN won't be there. Their word will get out. If it's irrefutable and it's actually happening in the meeting, people will be a little more attentive to your gospel. Haven't we learned by now that we are not going to win the Muslims with a word debate? They don't trust your Bible, and we sure don't trust their Quran. We know our Bible, they know their Quran. And I'm not just picking on Muslims. You can do the same with Hindus, Buddhists, anybody. Not going to win them. We're not going to win the world with a word debate. We're coming to that time like in the Old Testament where the prophet said, on Mount Carmel, you pray to your God, I'll pray to my God. The God who answers by fire, he is God. You walk into some Muslim city and say, bring all your blind and pray in the name of Jesus, and you open the eyes of some Muslim's mother who was blind, that old boy's going to be more prone to listen to you. We're going to win the world. See, Jesus didn't say just go preach. He said preach, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, and then, if they won't believe you, shake the dust off your feet. We haven't done that, but we're headed there. Can you see this? Can you see this? The maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now that's the standard. Raise your sights. That is the level of revival that he has called us to, and nothing short of that. I thank God for everything we've seen, but I'm telling you, we're going a lot further than that. We have lifted off a little ways, but we're not flying high enough above the pond. Can I say it that way? How are we going to get there? Try harder? Squall and bawl and beg and plead with the soul? Are we going to go in there to that Holy of Holies? To operate in that supernatural realm, we've got to have a teacher from a supernatural world. And God gave him to us. His name's the Holy Ghost. Let's not let these things slip. And if you're new, if you're going, I've never heard such things ever in my life, I have a book for you. It's called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. And it is exactly correctly named, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. We have to let the Holy Ghost mature us, teach us, and train us. Did you get anything out of that? Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I think at this time, go ahead and any of you that need to leave after this service. Yeah, Janet, if you'd come back up, please. And we'll just worship here for a moment. Let's just lift our, you know, I know you've been in a receiving mode for a moment. Let's go back to a giving mode and let's worship God. just thank Him and praise Him. Yes, sir. And before she starts, I intended to read. I laid this out so I wouldn't forget. Let me read you this. Get your ears back on for just a minute. This was something that a dear friend of mine who's been doing this message for at least 10 years. And I got her permission to read this to you. 10 years ago or so when I first met this girl, she's always been a sweet girl, sweet young lady, married woman. A friend of ours in another state, not at the prayer center. Now, when I first met her, she was one of the most emotion-ruled people I have ever known in my life. Sweet girl, do anything for you, but her emotions just, ugh. She began doing this message, and I've got to say, of all the people I have personally known, she is probably the most changed human that I have personally known. She should almost be the poster girl for praying in tongues. I'm telling you. Now, she couldn't really handle responsibility or anything in those days. Now, she's not my webmaster, but she is a webmaster for another ministry. Handles all of that. Just amazing. On the last day of 2008, her pastor, where she goes to church, who also believes in this message, said, I want you to just listen, get quiet, pray in the Spirit, and then write down whatever the Holy Spirit says to you. When she shared it with me, I said, why would He share with you the words He was speaking to me? I stole her words. They're so good. And now they're yours too. Listen to this. After a short time, this is what I heard. He said, I love you. All of my thoughts of you are wonderful. I want only your success. This next one really gets me. I do not see failure in you. I see opportunity to overcome. Change is the cornerstone of deeper levels in me. You must be willing to embrace change if you want to know more of me, more of my freedom, more of my grace, and more of my love. I have much to share with you, much of myself to open up to you, and you must believe that nothing is more important than the time I need to share these things with you. I love you. All the world cannot contain the vastness of my love for you, and the depth of my love for you cannot be measured. You must more fully understand my love for you. I long to be with you. Oh, taste and see that the realms I have for you will fulfill your every longing. I want to walk in the cool of the day with you, and also in the midst of the morning and in the heat of the night. To be with you is my greatest longing. Come away with me. Trust in me. See that I have only good plans for you. Surrender to the process and find that I will lead you into more and more of me. More and more of what I have planned for you. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surrender to the process.